Welcome to The Outpouring with Executive Pastor Bob Oliver of the New Covenant Church of Philadelphia.
Proverbs 31, so we have a frame of reference. In the beginning, we see words from King Lemuel. And these words, we don't really know who he is, but scholars think it may have been Solomon, and that these are words of Bathsheba. But then in verses 10 through 31, did you know that this was a poem? Did you know this was a poem? You knew because you've been teaching the kids. You knew it's a poem. And it's actually a poem that was written, and it goes through every single letter of the alphabet. We use those mnemonic devices sometimes, but this is actually a special kind of poem that does that. And so what we're going to do is read it together, and we're going to focus on a couple verses there. I mixed my notes up today. Bear with me right there. There we go. All right. So we're going to read this poem, and I want you to listen with the understanding that this is a poem about a warrior queen. This is a poem about a warrior queen. The language that you hear as you listen to the poem is the same language that was used when we spoke in Exodus 18 about the warriors and the able-bodied men, how he told them to choose the able-bodied men. That word able means the same thing as you're hearing in this poem about the virtuous woman. So it's really talking about a warrior queen. It's talking about someone who was skilled in military activity, all right? I know we haven't heard about it like that, but I promise you, you study it, that's what we're talking about. And I'm going to tell you why it's so important in a moment. So we're going to start at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? That word virtuous means strong. It means someone skilled in military. It means a warrior queen. Who can find a strong woman? Can I find a strong woman in the house today? I'm looking at a bunch of them. Who can find a strong woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 14, she is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with what? Strength. And strengtheneth her arms. That means she's continually doing things to strengthen the thing she works with. Verse 18, pay attention. She perceiveth, she's constantly seeing, she's constantly sensing. Perceiveth, it indicates it's a something that happens over and over and over again. She perceiveth that her merchandise is what? Good. Her candle goeth out by night. She layeth her hand to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid. She's what? Say it again. She's what? She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's royal. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she rejoiceth in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. Say, open your mouth. Open your mouth. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. The law of kindness is a law. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he doesn't just arise and call her blessed, but he praises her. Many daughters have been strong. Many daughters have done well. Many daughters have fought this fight skillfully as a warrior queen, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works, her own works, praise her in the gates. Amen. So we see here this woman. Does she sound like she needs help? Or does she seem like she's got it all under control? What you think? She needs some help or she has it all under control? Oh, we had a mixture. Some people just shaking their heads saying, I don't know, tell me. What you think, Janine? So this is something that we know, that women who work like this, they need help. They are helpers, but they need help. And one of the things we know is that the Holy Ghost, he's the helper. He comes to help. He comes to help. He said, well done. Thou hast done virtuously. Thou hast done well, in verse 29 is what it means. But you have excelled them all. Many daughters have done well, but you have excelled them all. In Matthew 25, 21, we skip over to the New Testament. It says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, but I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. We understand as mothers that we do so many different things. Any mothers in the house that do one thing? Oh, I thought somebody raised their hand. She snatched it down real quick. I saw her raise her hand. She snatched it down real quick. One thing, Sister Gabrielle. Did I ask the right person? None of us do one thing. And the thing about being a mother is that sometimes it can feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulder. Because you're literally carrying people's lives in your belly, in your spirit, to your prayer closet. You're walking around every single moment, every single day, thinking about the welfare of somebody else. That's weighty, isn't it? But thank God for his word that says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In verse 31:18, it said that she perceiveth. One of the things we want to do as women, I want to really encourage you to do this. We have to perceive who we are. And as much as we perceive who our children are, we see for other people, right? We see, oh no, that's not the direction you're going. I see something else for you. I'm going to pray through that. I'm going to mentor you. I'm going to walk through this with you. I see you doing this, but I see that there's a little more. We always have a little push in our spirit for somebody else. Would you agree? But sometimes even in that pushing, even in that perceiving for others, we don't see really who God says we are. We can forget about ourselves, amen? in the midst of giving, in the midst of caring, in the midst of being excellent, in the midst of all the things we just read in Proverbs 31, warring. It's amazing how you can really, really do all these other things in excellence for other people and forget about yourself. But the Holy Spirit said to remind the women under the sound of my voice today to perceive who you are. So who are you? We go back to Genesis. Made in the image and in the likeness of God. You are a spirit. I know you think sometimes you're just this person who's just doing all these things. But the scriptures tell us that God is a what? He's a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We were made in his image and in his likeness. We see that in Genesis 1. And so he said to remind you, women of God, that we are a spirit merely living in an earth suit. Why do we need to remember that? We need to remember that so that we can really push through and push our children and push our husbands by the Spirit into where they need to be. Why? The helper needs some help. Amen. Who is our help? The Psalm told us our help comes from where? The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So that's who we look to. We perceive it. John 4:24 said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Here's another thing. If you're taking notes, write this down. I have to use my words. Sometimes you can be so heavy that you literally feel like you can't say anything. You ever been there? The phone ring, you like, I just can't right now. I can't talk. Not because I don't care about the person whose name I see on the phone, but like I literally cannot speak. Oh, I'm the only one who ever been that tired. You ever been that tired, Joy? I can't make words right now. I'm tired. I'm sad. I can't go any further. But you're a spirit, and you have to use your words. When you get there, use your word. John 1:1-3 said, in the beginning. Go back to the beginning when you feel like that. And the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. The word wasn't just with God, but the scripture said the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, there was not anything that was made, including you. So when you need help, sometimes you got to remember to go back to the beginning. Go back to the word. Remember that you were made in the image and likeness of the word. The word was Jesus. We are spirit beings who live in bodies. We have souls comprised of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And that's why it's important to remember that you were from heaven. So one of the things we do once we get the perception of who we are correct, we establish who we are in the earth. You are an ambassador. You are a warrior queen. Proverbs 31 may be a poem, but it's a poem about a warrior. When you read the language, you see language of strength, language of skillfulness, language about how excellent she was, so excellent that her husband was known in the gates. So excellent that the people that came from her were revered. That's how excellent you are. That excellency lies within you. But we have to use our words. We have to use our words. Being meek and being humble doesn't mean you don't say anything. Everything was created by a word. The Holy Spirit wants you to understand your creative power, the creative power you have in your mouth because of who God made you from the beginning. Let me explain it this way. In Genesis, when it talks about the Spirit was brooding over the face of the deep. Remember that? It was brooding over the face of the deep. It's watching over it. It's waiting over it. Like something's brewing, but it didn't quite manifest yet. Hallelujah. Woo! It's brooding, but it didn't. Man, let me help you bring it home. You're waiting for your son or your daughter to give their life to Christ, but it didn't quite happen yet. The Holy Spirit is brooding over it. You're waiting for your purpose to come all the way to fruition because you have sort of a frustration like, I should be doing more than this. I should be doing something else. I know that I'm good, but I feel like there's this excellency that I'm waiting to come up. The Holy Spirit is brooding over it. So what happened though? Nothing happened until the scripture said, then God said. The scripture said it was brooding over the waters, but nothing manifested until the scripture said, then God said. You gotta say something. Why do you have to say something? You have to say something because let me give you a different definition of prayer. I'm gonna tell you why you have to say something. What is prayer? Somebody tell me what prayer is. Just shout it out. I hear a conversation with God. What else? Building a relationship. Somebody been in class. Building a relationship. What else? I'm going to give you a kingdom definition for prayer. Write this down. Prayer from the legal or kingdom perspective is the means by which God, through your legal authority, interferes in the earth. I'm telling you, you have to say something. Why do I keep saying that? You have to say something because prayer is a conversation with God. But prayer is more than that. Remember, this is a legal document. It's a constitution. So as women, when you begin to pray, when you begin to go in the spirit realm, when you begin to tap into the depths of God, you're out of English. You're going to that other level that Paul told us about. When you begin to go in like that, when you begin to say something, first of all, when you get in by the Spirit, he'll tell you what else you need to say in English to the people who you're praying for and interceding for. But he gave us authority in the earth. He will not break his law. Our God is not lawless. So why is the brooding happening? Because the next level to bring manifestation is for you to see and then say, perceive. We talked about perception of yourself and others. But then you have to move to the level of saying, using the word to bring the thing to fruition. All of my children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. All of my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. No weapon formed against Joshua will prosper. Every tongue that rise up against grace, she will condemn it because she knows that she has the power and authority according to the living God. You see how you pray that scripture through? So women, we got to begin to pray those scriptures through for our families, for our husbands, for our children, for our churches, for our neighborhoods, for our jobs, for our city. The Spirit knows no time nor space. The Spirit knows no time or space for our city, for our nation. And you have a model. He gave you the model in Proverbs 31. She wasn't just working in the church. I was praying this week and the Holy Spirit said to tell you this. He said, make sure that people understand that their gift is not just for the church. He said, tell my people their gift is not just for the church. It's for the world. Your gift is not just for the church, Jelena. Your gift is not just for the church, Mom Joyce. Your gift is not just for the church, Pastor Bob. Your gift is for the world. It's for the world. It's for the world. How do I know? Because the scripture says, one of the first scriptures we learned, John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the church. For God so loved the church
Oh.
He loves the church, but he so loved the world that he did what? He gave. He gave his only begotten son. As mothers, do we not understand what that means? Some of us would say, I'll go to hell before I give my son or my daughter. He gave his only begotten son. Ha! That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Your gift is not just for the church. Now, don't go say I said your gift wasn't for the church and you're not working anymore in the church. Janine, I didn't say it, Pastor. I said your gift is not only for the church. It's for the world. Because that's who God gave his son for. He gave his son for the world. Why else do you need to understand the legal capacity that you have? When you stand at the altar and you pray that fire would remain on the altar and that the fire would never go out, what are you doing? You're exercising your legal authority. You're an ambassador. You're a legal representative, mother, woman, daughter, in the earth. So you're standing before the judge, in between the people and the Father, an intercessor. And you're making a petition because God gave you authority that he won't take from you. He's not going to just push you to the side and say, I got this. What he's doing is he's wooing you. He's wooing you to get up earlier. He's wooing you to stay up later. He's wooing you to worship a little bit longer. Why? Because he's saying, if you don't say something, it won't come, because I'm not going to break my own law. I gave you authority. You're waiting on me, but I'm waiting on you. Psalm 115, 16 says, the heavens, even the heavens are the Lord, but the earth have I given to the children of men. I'm going to give you five things you can begin to do to use your word. Number one, learn the language of faith. Learn the language of faith and use it. What is the language of faith? The language of faith works like this. I have to think about what I really, really want, what I see, what the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding me to know or do for myself or for someone else. I have to see it with absolute clarity. That's the first step. So this is the reason why some of our prayers don't get answered. So follow this. Number two, once you get a very, very clear vision, you have to desire it with all your heart. I see this person being healed. I see them coming to Christ. I see my whole block. I just want to take authority over the three houses on my left and the three houses on my right. Like, be very, very specific. Write that down. You have to be very, very specific. And you have to really want it with a burning desire. So you're seeing it clearly, and then you're being very, very specific and wanting it with a burning desire. But then you begin to use the language of faith. My neighbors are saved. When they see me, they see light. That's how you start to talk. Like, literally talk like that. When I speak to them, they're going to begin to desire of me the light of Jesus that's in me, and they're going to give their lives to Christ. They're going to receive my prayer. You just start talking about it. Kayla is filled with the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in other tongues. When I pray for her, I see it, and I see it happening, and I keep saying it no matter how much she acts up. That, think about what you want to see for yourself, what you want to see for somebody, and start to say it as if it's so real that it's right there in front of you. You can touch it. Now, people will say, well, that sounds crazy. Well, since when weren't you a peculiar person? That's what you're supposed to be doing. Stop calling the thing that is what we should be doing strange and the things that we shouldn't be doing just being quiet and sad and letting stuff happen normal. That's not normal. It's not normal that you're not decreeing and declaring what you want to see for yourself. It's not normal that you're accepting your illness. It's not normal that you're not healed from cancer. It's not normal that your knees aren't working right. It's not normal that your brain is not clear and you're just saying, oh, well, I'm just going to take the medicine. That's not normal. Let the fire of God rise up inside of you when you begin to say what you want to see. I remember in 2014 when I found a tumor in my pancreas. I had lost my mom just 3 years earlier to pancreatic cancer. Lost my aunt 2 years before my mom to what? Pancreatic cancer. It was coming for me. It was coming for me. I watched my mom die. Took care of her, my husband and me and my children, every single day after they gave up on her. Brought her into our bedroom for hospice care. I prayed every day that my mom would raise up out of that bed. And I believed it with all that I was. I could see it. I had faith. I spoke it. And one day as I was praying, the Holy Spirit said, stop. I heard it as clear as day. I stopped at the foot of her bed. And I said, why? Why? I believe this with all that I am. Why are you telling me to stop? He said, I will not allow your will to override hers. But in 2014, when it came from me, I found it in stage one. That's a miracle. If you understand anything about medicine and pancreatic cancer, that was a miracle. And I told that devil in hell, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I will see my children grow up. I will love my husband all my days. I will not die. I played scriptures on loop. On loop. They just played over and over. Healing scriptures. In the morning, in the noon, in the night. Because I willed myself to be here. You have that power. But you have to say something. You have to say something. You have to say something. And if you are at a point, because sometimes we are, I've been there, when you don't have any words, your heart is too broken, you better grab the nearest intercessor and get them to start speaking over your life. It's okay if that's where you are. Don't feel ashamed. All of us go through that season. There is no shame in that. But you have to be able to get up enough strength to be like the woman with the issue of blood, that you are going to press until you can at least touch the hem of somebody's garment and say, I need help. I know I'm a helper, but I need help. Press. Learn the language of faith. Because when you understand this, even from a natural perspective, the brain is literally the speech center. The brain has a speech center that's ruled by what you say. So doctor, if you're a doctor, wave your hand. If you don't want to be identified, that's all right. I'm just looking for a witness. I got a baby doctor over there. He's waving his hand. He's prophesying over himself. Your brain speech center actually has total dominion. I just told you a story about myself, but why did that work? Because your brain speech center takes total dominion over your nervous system. So when you say, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm tired, I'm old, I don't say I'm old. I say, I am aging backwards. I will be younger every day. When I look at my daughter, I say, I am aging backwards. And I just picked her up from Spelman, just got back yesterday. Y'all can clap for my grace. And I knew it was working what I say because her friends were like, oh my God, is that your mom? Oh my God, you look just like her. And when we went to put the storage away, some Morehouse man said, do you need this cart? And I said, yes, we do. Thank you so much. We were just praying how we were going to get all of these things up. And when we started to go away, Mom said, Mom, I think he thought we both went to Spelman. I said, all right. Calm down, Daddy. No one compares to my prince. So it's physiological and it's spiritual. You literally will become what you say. You can override whatever it is that's coming for you. If you don't change what you say, you cannot change. If you don't change what you say, you cannot change. Read Daniel 9 and 10, and you'll understand the power of the words. Daniel ended up fasting 21 days. When the angel came through, he said, Daniel, I've been trying to get to you. Daniel was like, man, where you been? He said, I was held up in the heavenlies by the Prince of Persia, Pastor. He said, but now, because you kept saying something, because you kept fasting, because you kept praying, I'm telling you, New Covenant Church of Philadelphia, men and women of God, if you keep fasting, if you keep praying, if you keep reaching for somebody who can fast and pray for you when you don't have any words, the angel will come and say the same thing that he said to Daniel. He said, Daniel, I've come for your words. And guess what? If I can't pray because I'm so down and out, Ev, I can call my husband. I can call Mom Barlow. I can call Tina. I can call Zay, who just graduated from Westchester yesterday. And I can get them to intercede for me. And guess what? Their intercession will be received as if it was mine. When they dropped their friend down through the roof, Elder Ardelia, that was intercession. They believed something for their friend that he couldn't believe for himself. But he benefited. So it's all good news. It's all good news. It's all good news. Let me give you one more example. And then we're going to go eat our Mother's Day brunch. Does anyone remember the story of the unjust judge? Whew, he was a piece of work. Shoosh. Let's look at it in Luke. Let's look at it in Luke. This judge was so mean, friends, that it said he didn't regard God or people. And the woman who was a widow kept coming back to him. Why did she keep going back? Think about the times. She was regarded as a nuisance. She was regarded as being out of order. She was looked upon like she was a shame to herself and to her family. And you're talking about a very powerful man, right? A very powerful man. And she was what would have been considered in that time the lowest of the low, a widow. Yet she went and she kept going until she got what she needed. Why? She had a right perception of herself. And she knew that in order for her to break through, that she had to open her mouth. Luke 18, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't faint, people of God. Don't you dare faint. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, verse 2, neither regarded man, didn't fear God and didn't care about people. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to this judge who regarded not man or God. And she said, avenge me of mine adversary. People were trying to get her property. And she didn't have a husband. So what was she going to survive on? Have you ever felt like you weren't going to survive? You have to do something. So he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. So he wasn't even holy still. He's like, I still don't care about God. And I still don't care about man. I don't care about this widow. I don't care about any of it. Yet, somebody say yet. Woo! Yet. Yet. You got to be able to press until even an evil person can get a yet in their spirit. A yet about you. Yet, Omar. Yet, Mom Howard. Yet, Brandy. Yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Remember, we talked about knowing who you are. When you know who you are, you can have faith. You can sit up a little straighter even when you feel downtrodden because you know the God you serve. You know who he made you. And you can remember that if this unjust judge would do this, shall not God, verse 7, avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Shall he not avenge his own elect who do what? Who do what? Cry when? So they were doing something to be avenged. They have to do something. Though he bear long with them, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? We just talked about needing to have a word of faith in your mouth, right? That crying means to pray. Pray, pray, pray. It may be tears. It may be movement. It may be praise. It may be worship. It may be silent moaning. Whatever it is, you got to make some noise to let the Father know, I'm here and I'm not going to give up. Or let your intercessor know, keep on praying, keep on praying, keep on pushing. I feel a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Still works. The helper needs help. Let me say this to some people who care about how they can help the helper in their life. Here are three practical ways you can help the person who always helps you. And I was like, God, you want me to talk about this? He said, yes, because there are people who really love their mother, really love their wife, really love their sister. They really love the woman in their life, but they sincerely don't know what to do. So I'm going to help you. Is that all right? Number one. You can be a helper to the helper too, along with the Holy Ghost, along with the intercessors, along with all the things we talked about today. You can be a helper. What do you need to do? You need to identify her contributions. You can't help properly if you don't really even take time to acknowledge what the person has done in your life. That's why some of us can't break through in worship. Because you never really sat still long enough to really, really consider, Prophet Carlotta, what the Lord has done for you. I know that sounds simple, but think about it. It's no way in the world that we shouldn't be almost knocking the chairs over every week. When you think, it was an old song that said, when I think about the goodness of Jesus. We used to sing it 100 times and all that he's done for me. My soul cries out, Gabby, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. I could have been dead and gone. That's not just a part of the song for me. That thing is real. So I don't care what you think if I take my shoes off and start to run around the sanctuary. God did some stuff for you that'll make you run too. You just haven't thought enough about it. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cry out. See, when your soul cry out, now you done lost your mind. But before you can lose your mind in him, you gotta think. Hallelujah. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, Reverend Hart, and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out. Hallelujah. I thank God. Hallelujah. He paid it all. Once and for all, he paid it all. Once and for all, he paid it all. What Adam did in Eden, he wiped it out. And he sent Jesus, the second Adam. He paid it all. Once and for all, it was finished. The ultimate helper to come help us, helpers. Hallelujah. Identify your mother's contributions. Sit down and think. And this, I've heard men say, she's not my mother on Mother's Day. How dare you? How dare you? You're not even in the book. Reread Proverbs 31. It said the children rise up and call her blessed. And her husband rose up and call her blessed. But it said he also praised her. The children didn't praise her. It said her husband rose and praised her. The husband rose up and call her blessed. The children rose up and call her blessed. But the husband called her blessed and he praised her. Write down the things that would be different if your wife wasn't who she was to you. Don't hinder your prayers, men of God. Write it down. What has she done? If she fed you, that was enough. She suffered long with you in so many ways. You've been in trouble so many times. She lost her whole bank account trying to figure out how to save you from trouble. How many emails has she sent? How many applications has she filled out? How many clothes has she washed? How many people has she interceded for on your behalf so you can have something better than what you would have had if she didn't say anything? How many sleepless nights? How many early mornings? How much money was spent? How much heartache? Whatever your story is, what has she done for you? Small and great. Whether it was small or great, even if she was a bad mother, honor her. So your days will be long upon the earth. The second thing you can do for those of us who need help, acknowledge her humanity. This works with Jesus too. The scripture said he was made flesh and dwelled among us. He was human in every way he was human, and he was God in every way that he could be God. Now, I know some of us have superhero moms. I thought my mom was a superhero too. I promise you that Sandra was awake when I went to sleep, and she was awake when I woke up. I was like, Dad, does she ever sleep? She was amazing. But as I grew older, I said, man, I needed to consider my mother's humanity more. Mom, how are you doing today? How do you feel? Because a real, real good mother will have you thinking that she ain't real, as my daughter would say. Dad, you are not real. Let's consider the women in our lives' humanity, because I promise you they'll be gone too soon, whether it's in a few days or in 50, 60 more years. A woman who you love, whether it's a friend, whether it's your mother, whether it's your auntie, whoever the woman is, your wife, when they're gone, it's gone too soon, no matter when they're gone. I don't care if they're 150 years old. So consider their humanity and let God soften your heart towards them so that you can begin to get a sense for what they need. It'll be revolutionary for you and for them. What does this mean in real time? Some people don't get it yet, and that's okay. This is what it means. Stop being selfish. Stop being selfish. Forgive. Yes, that may have hurt you, but two things are for sure. You don't understand everything about why what happened happened. And if you don't forgive, it'll hurt you more than it hurts that person. What you can regain because you forgave is better than what you'll lose if you never humble yourself and let it go. Forgive. Forgive. What you will gain if you humble yourself and let it go is far greater than what you'll lose if you never let it go. Forgive. Here's something else for you. Know this, that 90% of the time, that woman you love is more exhausted than you even know. She might be smiling, face might be beat. She may still be moving, but she's tired. What can you do to take more care? Love is one thing, but care is something else. Love is one thing, but care is something else. I can know that you love me, but when you hold my hand, when you help me down the step, when you open the door, when you call and say, or text and say, I just was checking on you, that's care. So does your woman that you're thinking of, the mom, the sister, the auntie, the wife, does she know that you love her?
Yes.
That's what most men would say. That's what most men would say. Just like that. With that confidence and bravado, and I love that. But does she know that you care? It's different. Become a student of the one you love. If you're really courageous, you'll ask, do you feel like I care about you? You gotta be mature for that. Now that's for the mature people in the house. That's not a prerequisite or a 100, 101. That's like 400, 500 PhD level stuff right there. Don't ask if you can't handle it, because then you're gonna just start an argument. So make sure you pray before you ask. I don't want no trouble on Mother's Day week. All right. Ask. Be kind. Help her. Support her. Here's one that the Holy Ghost dropped in my spirit. I said, woo. If you have siblings, love your siblings. That will be healing and peace to your mother. Mothers agonize when they think about you being mean to one another. What would happen if I wasn't here holding this together? Don't do that to your mother. You grown. Love your brother. Love your sister. Don't treat people outside of your household better than you treat your people in your home. Stop doing that. Stop it. If I ask, if someone asks me about my husband Omar, and I am going to be honest, he has no worries at all. Because what you see is what you get. I don't cringe when he's talking to other people and laughing and holding his stomach and being loud, and because that's just how he's been since July 15th, 2014, when I woke up and he was singing at 5 o'clock in the morning to the top of his lungs. It's your legal right, my husband. So when your people see you, do they cringe because you're really mean and nasty at home? You got a bad attitude? You don't smile? You're not kind? Stop it. Let who they see when you're out be the same as who they see when you're home. That is integrity. It means you're integrated. Comes from the word integer in math. To be integrated. What you see is what you get. You're not fragmented. You're whole. Last of all, appreciator. So we went through all of that so you could know how to get to deep appreciation. Consider her. How do I do this, Janine? Be grateful. Simple. Say thank you. We're going to say it one more time. Stop being selfish. Try harder. Y'all laughing. Here's a good one. Stop being lazy in love. Don't be mad at me. It was the Holy Ghost. I was just sitting there saying, Lord, what should I say? Stop being lazy in love. We already have the master example of what love does. Love gives. Appreciate her with what makes her feel appreciated. If you like silk sheets, but she doesn't, when you get silk sheets, don't be mad that she's not happy. She don't like silk sheets. If you spent a lot of money on the bouquet, and she acted like she wasn't really that happy about it, why are you angry? She told you she wanted candy. Turtles. Now here you go. What kind of candy does she want? See, this is when your patience kick in, because you got to care enough and be patient enough. Well, I got you candy, I got you flowers, but I don't like flowers, and that's not the candy I wanted. She's not being difficult. She's being honest. Dig deep. Care enough to be patient with that. Find out what her love language is. If you're always trying to love her the way you want to love her, but she just wants you to wash the dishes, then you're going to keep clashing. Because her love language is acts of service, and you keep trying to rub her back. And it could be vice versa. But I leave that up to you to figure out. The Holy Spirit said to tell you to remember Proverbs 31. It said that she was priceless. Her price was what? Far above rubies. Rubies was the baseline. So my goodness, what will you have to pay? But guess what else he told me to tell you? Remember that you can't do too much for a rare woman. You can't do too much for a rare woman. Because if you love and care for her with excellence, what you receive in return, because of the nature of a woman, is going to be so much more than you pour in. How do I know? If you give her groceries, does she give you back groceries? She gives you a meal. You give her a house, she gonna make it a home. You give her seed, husband. Do you get back seed? You get back a whole Joshua, Grace, and Nathaniel. Now that's not bad. She's a multiplier. She's going to make anything you choose to give her better. And this is whether you're a son, sister, aunt, friend, husband, it doesn't matter. It's the nature of a woman. And so, we've learned a lot today about how to help the helpers. But I'm going to tell you what the most special, unforgettable, priceless gift is that you can give to yourself, to your mother, to your wife, today, and that's falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. If you're on a live stream and you're just watching with your mom today because she asked you to, that's beautiful. But if you really want to make her day, repeat this prayer after me today. If you're in a house today and you came and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord, Savior, and friend, everybody stand up with me as we pray. The Holy Ghost said, today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. It's not the day to harden your heart. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. The word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. He said, it's a time for yourself to be living in panel houses. No, you have a house that you live in right now. But the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You may have much or you may have little, but nothing you have will become what it's supposed to be until you give your life to Jesus Christ. So if you're here, I invite you to come. Come. If you're on a live stream, you need prayer, you want to give your life to Jesus today, text to the number on your screen. If you're here, come. Come to Jesus on Mother's Day so you can meet the Father of lights. He'll light up every dark place in your life. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here and you just want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You're saying, you know what? I know the Father, but I've been gone too long. Come. Come to Jesus. Perhaps you're looking for a church home and you want to make New Covenant the place you call home, come. We welcome you to come to Jesus right now.
Thank you for joining us in service today. We pray that this ministry has been a blessing to you and your family. To give your gift of love and help keep this ministry on the air, visit nccop.church/giving for all of the ways that you can donate to the ministry. Thank you so much for your generosity, and God's blessings until we meet again.